Hi, I'm Jeff Kazerman, Vice President of Government Relations at the New Jersey Society of CPAs. Today, we're bringing you a special bonus episode of the Issues Watch podcast. Last month, we had a great conversation with New Jersey Congresswoman Mikey Sherrill. She's a Democrat representing New Jersey's 11th district. We spoke to her about the Gateway Tunnel Project, other transportation and infrastructure issues, and her efforts to change the SALT deduction cap. If you didn't get a chance to hear it, go to njcpa.org/podcast or your favorite podcast app and listen to episode 16. We ran out of time during our last conversation with her, but I still had some more questions. So she graciously offered to continue the discussion. Here's part two of my interview with Congresswoman Sherrill. Congresswoman, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
I've got an infrastructure question that I wanted to ask you during our last episode that we didn't have time for. New Jersey is obviously an infrastructure mess. I know we have some municipal water systems that were built in the 1800s. That kind of makes them antiques. And we have bridges that date from the early 1900s. Can Washington offer us any relief for these problems, these state-oriented problems, or is New Jersey on its own for these types of things?
Washington can certainly offer us some help for some of these problems, because quite frankly, when you're talking about, for example, our rail infrastructure, our bridges, the portal bridge into the proposed Gateway Tunnel, these are things that are going to affect 20 states in the Northeast Rail Corridor. We get about 20% of the nation's GDP from our region. So this has an impact on the nation as a whole, not just New Jersey. And Congress, realizing that, has already appropriated money to fix the portal bridge. That's that swing bridge that gets stuck, and you often experience signal problems as you're trying to go in the city. So Washington, in effect, Congress has attempted to address this. Unfortunately, in the executive branch, transportation is sitting on that money and refusing to release it for some reason, which it's hard to understand. And as far as water infrastructure, this is a concern I hear not just from my own constituents, but this is really a nationwide concern. In fact, as I was running last year, we had the congressman from Flint, Michigan in our district, and I still talk to people who heard him speak compellingly about how government can and should solve some of these issues related to real problems that affect the nation's health and security. So these are things that I think Washington can and should attack.
Great. I hope they do. I've read that you've taken a tough stance on our trade relations with China. Can you talk about that?
Sure, we need to be looking at our trade relationship with China. For too long, I think we have treated China like a nascent economy. And in the meantime, they've been using unfair trade practices. They have not played on a level playing field. They have taken stolen technology from us militarily and otherwise. There's a lot of IP espionage that they conduct. So all that's been unfair. But that said, we need to be very careful how we do this, because we're harming businesses in New Jersey. So we have blade manufacturers who, with the steel and aluminum tariffs, have been hurt. We actually have the headquarters for Rocher, and they manufacture such things as Kinder Eggs, which you may be aware of, and the toys in the Kinder Eggs come from China. And so tariffs are going to really bring the prices up there and hurt their bottom line. So as we're trying to get businesses to flourish in New Jersey, we need to be looking carefully at our trade practices so that we're not harming our businesses.
That makes sense. You know, I recall on that issue, I was at an FBI seminar in Newark, and the speaker said, if you're traveling to China, don't put anything on your laptop or any disks that you don't want stolen. Apparently, at least then, they just swiped everybody's computer who was coming in from another country.
Yeah, that's good advice. I like many people, don't travel with my computer, with my iPhone, because specifically of the espionage and the stealing of our secrets.
Yeah, it's really too bad. Everyone knows there's intense partisanship right now within Congress and between the House and the President. Are there any important measures that we should know about that are moving despite the gridlock, bipartisan issues that are moving, but that we're not hearing about them because the media tends to focus on controversy and headlines?
You know, that's a great question. In fact, something that I like to talk about a lot, because Congress is working hard to pass the legislation that's going to impact people's lives. So kind of really doing the people's work. I know I just put forward a bipartisan bill with members like King and Stefanik from the Republican Party to get rid of the marriage penalty and the state and local tax deduction cap. As you know, joint filers get the same $10,000 cap as individual filers, which just isn't fair. I put forth for the NDAA to make Picatinny Armament School an accredited grad school, and I've had a bipartisan sponsor on that in the House Armed Services Committee. We have the family-to-family health centers. That's a bipartisan bill to help people who are trying to navigate through how to get their children the help they need. They have some support in that because it's very complicated. That's bipartisan. I just put forth the SASTA bill, which tries to attack the academic espionage we've seen from other countries, specifically China, for example, coming and trying to steal some of the research and development that takes place at our research universities. So these are all very bipartisan. But even beyond that, we are passing a suite of healthcare legislation to try to drive down prescription drug costs and to try to drive down the cost of healthcare. And I, of course, think all of it should have bipartisan support because I think people should have good coverage and we should drive down costs throughout our medical care system, and we should make sure people with pre-existing conditions are covered. The one area that I know has bipartisan support is getting some of our prescription drug care costs down, so I'm hoping we can move forward on that.
Well, that's great. I'm glad to hear there are some things moving. You know, the same thing happens in Trenton. We read about, you know, the budget battles, the tax battles, but 90% of what they are voting on that usually passes unanimously, and it's usually pretty good stuff. So you chair the Subcommittee on Investigations and Oversight, which is part of the House Committee on Science and Technology. Can you tell us a little bit about what that committee does and what you're working on?
So science, space, and technology has a broad range of issues that it attacks. And so it's generally all research and development throughout the United States that doesn't fall under the Department of Defense. It's a very exciting committee. There, as you can imagine, there's quite a bit that goes on there. Everything from climate change to biodiversity to women in STEM fields. What I've been holding hearings on so far is some of the work that the EPA does and the fact that they're not releasing some critical studies that we need. And then I've also held a hearing on infrastructure resilience, so understanding how, as we now move forward with our increased flooding and tornadoes and hurricanes and fires, how we're making sure that as we rebuild our infrastructure, it's more resilient, that we're not just throwing money into rebuilding the same systems again and again as they continue to be overcome by our new weather events.
Can you tell us about the new Democratic coalition in Congress? I know you're an active member of that group.
Yes, I'm one of the two freshman members in leadership of the new Democratic coalition, and it's actually the largest coalition in the Democratic caucus. There are over 100 members of the new Dems, and so it's critical in really setting the agenda of the Democratic caucus. It's a pro-business caucus that wants to ensure that as we move forward with our progressive ideas, that we are making sure that we are growing our economy, that we are taking care of our businesses, and that we're really making sure that we develop that great middle-class economy that we're always, you know, in this country have always had as the backbone of our economy.
So tell me if I'm right on this. My understanding is that it is a pretty moderate group of Democrats, and that it really represents the far larger percentage of Democrats in Congress than the groups or the people we're always reading about in the newspaper who are pretty far to the left, I guess that's the terminology. I know I heard a congressman speaking somewhere. Oh, it was at an American Institute of CPA Council meeting. And he said, you may hear a lot more and see in the newspapers from the further left of the Democratic members of Congress, but they're really a very small minority.
That's right. So I think what was so striking about this past election cycle was that we really gained ground across the country in districts just like mine, where people had a real sense that the House and the Senate just weren't working for them. And so I was put into office by an electorate that wants to see movement on bringing down healthcare costs, on fixing our infrastructure, on creating a more fair tax system, on protecting our environment. These are the issues that I hear about in my district, and I can tell you from speaking to other members of Congress, people are hearing across the country. There's wide agreement and support for these core issues, and that's what the new Dems really, those are the issues we want to move forward on. So you hear a lot more from the far left of our party, which is now the minority of our party, but it's really, I think, the agenda of the new Dems that is resonating most widely.
I know you have to run in a few minutes, so let me ask you one last question. Can you tell us what you find most frustrating and most gratifying about serving in Congress?
So the most frustrating part, I'll say that first because I want to end on a high note, but the most frustrating part is this idea that there are areas of wide agreement. There are areas where we can develop bipartisan support. And I think the most frustrating part is when we're not working towards that agenda, when we're not working to pass good legislation for the American people, and we're getting, you know, we're letting some of the legislative agenda be overcome by partisan politics. So that's the most frustrating part. The most gratifying part about serving in Congress is serving with the other new freshman members of Congress. I get the sense that this is different maybe from past Congresses, and to have this new and exciting and innovative group of people to serve with, I do feel like these freshman members are often refocusing the caucus on the things that we all ran on, because we are probably most connected to our districts, having many of us having just run really hard races and kind of trying to listen and hear everyone and understand deeply the needs of our districts. So to work with these and to see the energy and excitement being generated from the freshman members and the real focus on the critical needs of this country has been incredibly gratifying.
Well, I'm glad to hear about all this new energy in Congress, and I hope that it leads to some beneficial legislation and new laws being passed. Thank you again, Congresswoman, for spending some time talking with us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it as well, and have a great day.
Thanks again to Congresswoman Mikey Sherrill for sharing some fascinating insights with us. If you'd like to know more about what she's working on or how to contact her, we've put some links in the show notes. And given that this was a bonus episode, you only have to wait 1 week for our next episode. I'm sure that makes your day. If you like the Issues Watch podcast, you can subscribe for free on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.